Father, again, we thank you for this night. Thank you for songs. And Lord, in turn, our hearts say in words that we are so grateful for the blessings of life. And I ask you to bless this word again to our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for being in the house of God on Sunday. But you're more to us than just a Sunday-go religious-type atmosphere. And the rest of the week, nothing matters. We need to learn something on Sunday in the house of God of worship that'll help us all through the week to live for you and look for you each day, knowing you promised to come back for the church. And one day you will, and I don't believe it'll be too long. But in you see fit to delay another day, another month, another year, it's because of your love and your grace. It's because you have that in turn of forbearing in the sense of not wishing that any should perish. And one day the last soul that God will know in his mind and his plan and his purpose will be saved, and the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive will be changed and meet you in the air. And to that day, do help us be true to this book. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'd like to take the Bible, if you will, and open it to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. I've been, you heard say it, in early mornings, especially on Sunday morning, I get up real early. I ask God to wake me a certain time, and most time within 30 minutes I get awake to go to my office at the house. And been reading through the book of Psalms. In Psalms 145, I want to look at tonight for a few minutes, is David. And he's telling us some things, and God gives this thought that who we are, why we're here, what we're doing in life. And ladies and gentlemen, my topic tonight is simply this: why we must show God to the next generation. Did you know that God has set forth so much in this book that we who are in his image have fallen, and we who can be redeemed back, God has made us so that we can learn progressively from the day we're born physically till we die. And when we get born again, we can start again progressively learning spiritually about the new man to God calls us home. And one thing you can't do much in studying this book without realizing, and I don't understand exactly why God does this, but he's gave an indictment to his people to tell them about what God is doing, about what he's planned, his purpose. And the next generation will hear from our generation to lead them towards that which is needed, or they will not. And if they get wax worse and worse, as the Bible says that's going to happen in the last generations, then somebody's not doing their job. Because God honors his word, and I believe with all my heart, we have a great responsibility to the generation that's ahead to try to give them the things that we give in life. We think about getting along in life. We think about living. We think about wealth. We think about having a home, thinking about having a job. We think about education. Our government seems so much that he forces us at a certain age to have our children have an education. All of these things we give to the next generation. But why not also give them the Word of God? Because the Word of God is what brings their heart in line with what God wants to the next generation. And I see this as I look now in what David is saying here as he gives God praise in Psalm 145. I'm going to read quickly through these and come back and talk about some things in life. Notice what David starts off with. He said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now, verse 4 really is my text. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. God said one generation is going to praise his works to others, and will declare, describe, will give what is needed, the acts of God, the plan and purpose of God. Now, God reveals that by his Spirit through the Word of God, but he does it through the child of God, who in turn gives words in the language that person's in, who has the Word of God in their language, that he has dealt with them through the years so they may learn earlier and quicker, maybe by explanation, by being in church, hearing the Word of God taught, that they could grow in grace and knowledge a lot faster that way than maybe trying to get it for themselves. One thing is for sure, David said, one generation must tell the next generation. And by the way, The last generation before me set a preface to tell this generation. That's how I got saved. If you got saved, you got saved because somebody in the last generation passed it on to our generation. And aren't you glad of that? That had nobody passed it on to our generation, we'd have lived religiously, but not know who the true God is. And what's going to happen down through the ages, we get towards the end of the age, and that's one of the reasons Jesus said about what I find faith when I come, I think, because man will wax worse and worse. And if you don't have a counteract of God's people, the remnant, though it may be a remnant that stands on the principle of God's word and try to teach that remnant of their children what the word of God says, and let God have access and in dealing with them on an individual basis so they can get what we have in time and what we got some from others. And I pray to God in my life, I don't know about you, I pray to God in my life that what I got from the last generation, that I've enhanced it more for me for the next generation. That's what I'm trying to do tonight. And that's the way we should be doing. That's when God gave us the Great Commission, to go into the world and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't give it to the world, he gave it to the church. The world will see to it that man has got knowledge in everything except the Word of God. I mean, you're talking about learning stuff in the world for a field of science and astronomy, whatever it may be, astrology, even astrology. You find in dealing with things in math, you find in dealing with work, you find today that we talked about the other night that knowledge is something like doubling every 48 hours, about every 2 days. And when you think how fast that should happen, the world has given humanity everything about knowledge because he's capable of learning. But the world will not give them what God said to give from this book. It has to come from another source. And I'm looking at it for our part here. And by the way, let me say this. I thank you for being here tonight. We had a visitor here just a few weeks ago one night. And they were saying, you know, I've never seen many people attend the churches like this on off night. They come on Sunday morning, but don't come on Sunday night. And he said, and he was talking about what happened. He said, it amazes me that there's so many here. He said, I've been in a lot of churches that they have Sunday morning good crowds, but Sunday night and Wednesday night I don't have anything. So, folks, I commend you for coming here tonight. I commend you for being faithful to your church, because there are some people who are watching, and they know the difference between those who do and those who don't. So I thank you for that. So let's look a little further. He said, I will speak. Now, he said, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. But he said, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. And notice, and he said, and thy wondrous works. Now, David said, I'm going to talk about only what God is, who he is, his majesty, and, of course, his daily works. And then he goes on and he said, and men shall speak of the might of their terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Men will look at humanity, and you look at the wrath and look at the terror acts that happens in weather and storms and many other things and tragedy. And he'll talk about that and leave God out. But he said, I'm going to talk about God's greatness. That's what David said. And he goes on, he says, and notice verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. But verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and of great mercy. And those there that would be able to know that only have the memory of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who's not saved don't talk about Jesus Christ, folks. He talks about religion, but he don't talk about Christ. You find anybody who talks about Christ like we talk about Christ as being who he is, has got to have an encounter with God through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I believe with all my heart, we do it because we love him. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over our works. He said, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Who is that? The saints in verse 10. And I have no doubt this can meet any age, Old Testament and New Testament, if they're following the Lord under circumstances, because only in the New Testament we have the saints of God, but those who follow the Lord. And they speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power. That's it. We're to use words in our language that God gives us from his book to go to others to talk to them about that. In some form or fashion, it may be written word, it may be talking verbally, it may be tapes, whatever it may be. It's used to give something out about who God is and what he's doing in this age. And he goes on, he said, and all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall be blessed and shall bless thee. They shall speak of their glory in the kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his, God's mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endures throughout all generations. This is the God they need to know when we tell them about the one we serve. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that bow down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. I love that. In other words, we pray and we ask and we wait on God, and God says he gives us that meat, that which is needed in due season. God will give us what is needed when we meet the test at the right time. That's the reason we see that sometimes when God promised something, like Abraham to have a son, it was 20, 25 years later before he had that son, but God kept his promise. And you can have, the world looks at hope as hope that maybe happen. Our hope in Jesus Christ is not maybe it will happen, but it will happen, and help us stay hold of that until the time God Almighty shows it and brings it about. And so he goes on and he says this in 16, thou opens thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is great, is righteous in all his ways and holy in his works. Now, I want you to notice verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. But wait a minute. He didn't put a period there. Wonder why. Because a lot of folks call upon him in the wrong attitude, wrong mind. And a lot of folks talk about him, but they don't accept him the way God says to accept. Notice, to all that call upon him, what's the next two words? What is it? In truth. Isn't it amazing that how some people can take scripture and sound just right and leave part of it out and change the whole thing? He simply says here, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. That means if anybody just call upon him the way they want to know. He talks about to all that call upon him in truth. Now, when I take the phrase in truth, where am I going to find that out? I'll tell you this, God's word certainly proclaims what truth and who truth is. This book is truth. And the object of this book is reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself said to the woman by the Samaritan, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, truth is centered in him in the age of grace. So anybody who talks about believing truth and leave him out are not believing truth. They're deceived. And so he goes on. And David was looking for him to come and believe he was coming, but didn't know who he would be. But he knew exactly it would be truth. And if you go back to John chapter 4, verse 24, you find that what Jesus said about to the Samaritan woman about who God was. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that loveth him, for all the wicked will be destroyed. Isn't that something? Right there is a verse of scripture that declares to us what happens to those who believe God and those who don't. Those who try to serve God and those who don't because their lives are different. Somebody says, well, I don't believe God's going to ever let someone go to hell and into the lake of fire one of these days. Well, God hadn't tore it out of the Bible yet. God hadn't removed it from the Bibles of yet. And even in the Old Testament, David says this, the Lord preserve all them that love him. Well, how would you love him? You would believe him if you love him. On the other hand, what you would believe about him? You'd believe his word. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you can't love him about that until you believe the record that God gives us his son. And when you're saved, you'll love him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he, God reveals that to us. But he also says, but the wicked, all, not just some, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, that means that those who don't allow in the age of grace, for us to understand, not the Old Testament, but for us to understand, all those in the age of grace that don't allow the blood of Christ to cleanse them from their sin, they're classified different than a child of God. And here he said, the wicked shall be destroyed. And I believe that. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forevermore. Why we must show God to the next generation. God created the angels without the ability to reproduce. The only thing that can reproduce is that which we see in time, as far as we know. He created all other creatures to be able to reproduce through their own kind, including humanity, who was created in the image of God. Each generation gives birth to another generation, passing on the human characteristics of their generation, their personality traits and beliefs, and each generation has the duty to pass on to the next generation those things that are needed to hopefully help them advance further to have a better life, even in this time, than maybe we had. And certainly we have a better life today, even though there's more struggles than maybe it was 100 years ago. I'd heap rather ride a car than me a wagon. I've done both. Amen? It's easier to put gas in a car than to feed a mule or horse hay. Because first of all, you have to raise the hay. Then you have to harvest the hay. And you put it in the barn. See, I remember those things. And then you spread it out over a period of time. You can get gas right at the gas pump. You got to have money, but you get it, amen? So what I'm saying to you, it's a lot easier than it was many years ago. But sometimes I'd love to go back. Because I believe people had more peace in those days than they have today. I see that because people live more together than they do today in a community. And so each generation has a duty to pass on to the next generation. Some things are passed on that are natural, like the sin nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, you find the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he made this statement in Romans chapter 5. He simply said this in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, we were by nature the children of wrath. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 said that you might partake, because those who are children of wrath could partake through Jesus Christ of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So some things pass on or learned. Each generation learns from their previous generation things that affects them. And it's sad, but they can learn wicked things as much so as good things. And ladies and gentlemen, I think one of the greatest things we ever seen is a computer in our age for information. But I'll tell you, there's more filth on that than there is knowledge. And the reason for that is this. People like filth better than knowledge. The unsaved man should be different. I mean, the unsaved man is different because that he likes the filth because he pleases the flesh. But the saved man is different than the unsaved. And the flesh is still the same. And I want to say something just a minute. I hope you're a blessing as we get to that. We have the responsibility to pass on to the next generation the things about God. It's easy to pass on that which is fleshly more so than that which is spiritual. Because the flesh already has fallen. And the flesh enjoys that which pacifies it and makes it enjoy that which in turn it likes and it loves. Where God, the Holy Spirit, helps us bring this into control. And I was just thinking recently, when you think about, someone asked this thing about divorce. And they said, you know, is there any grounds in the Bible for divorce? What is the ground for divorce? And most people say, well, the first ground for a divorce is adultery. And adultery, according to Jesus Christ, he said there is a ground for that. If you look, don't understand all that's said about that. But then one day in studying this many and looking at for this particular passage, this subject, it amazed me. The thought comes this way, ladies and gentlemen, where it also says adultery is ground for divorce. It also tells us forgiveness is ground to not to divorce. God tells us that forgiveness is important in our lives. Now, grant you can forgive someone, and yet they can still do what they do. You can't conquer that. But you can't cause that to happen. But I'm saying to you that where the Bible teaches ground for divorce, the Bible also tells us that we can forgive. And in turn, that when a person is to not divorce. But only you can do that. You can't make the other person do that. What I have to do, I have to do, and what my wife has to do is the same thing if we're going to see what God is saying here. If we do opposite, we do wrong. If we do what he says together, if one does it and doesn't do it, then in turn you can't make a unit like that stand, for two makes one in a marriage. So there's a case then where a person may say, well, you know, Jesus gave grounds for divorce. On the other hand, he also gave ground that you look at that when it comes to that, there's a ground to not divorce. And I just passed an in-call saying about that. But it fits in line what the Bible has to say about us in life and making decisions in life. 2 points quickly, and we're through. The first is the topic of my message. Why must we show God to the next generation? We are naturally related to the next generation, right? You produced it. I produced it. We're related by birth. We may not be related to every family, but we're in the family unit, and our generations, they are the ones that actually do from us to make up the family units in the next generation. The next generation owes its existence to us. The next generation will be our descendants and our children and grandchildren. We are the next generation's guardians. We're their instructors. We're the guides in life. They'll learn many things that we have produced in this life and documented in words and things like that. We're to train in them their minds, their hearts, and bodies, and discipline in life. They have the natural right to look to us for instructions and to expect us to teach them everything that is necessary for them to know in this life. And that has to do spiritually and academically. They have a right to look to us for instructions about what is valuable and what is not valuable. The next generation inherits all that we have in this generation. Everything you and I have, whether it be little or much, our generation next will take it. If they don't, the government will take it. So in turn, we want to be sure that we do as the scripture talks about, giving inheritance to our children, hope to make that better when God takes us home. I'd rather my children have it than the government. By the way, they're going to get their share anyhow. Amen? So I look at the things in life, what's doing now for the next generation. Our material possessions are passed on to our heirs. Land, houses, goods, anything we have. If not, the government will take over and claim them. Now here's the thought. How cruel it is to give and leave them all our material possessions, but withhold them from the knowledge of God. Did you know it'd be better for us to give them the best we could, the knowledge of God, whether they ever got anything else material-wise? Because that's the only thing that's going to help them govern their lives until we see Jesus on the other side. What we know about God and salvation has been passed from generation to generation to the present time, and should it stop with us? Because, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. It is stopping with us in the reality of this book. Because they're hearing everything except this book. And never religious plan in this world seem to get along with each other except those who believe in the God of this book. So what happens? Satan is minimizing this book and raising everything else up on equal level. There can only be one truth. There can only be one book of truth. There can only be one person of truth, and that's Jesus Christ. Because he declared that. So we see some things that's taken place. Should we not pass our knowledge on about God and his salvation? You who have teach classes here, you who stand every day and does something to help someone. And Sunday, you know, Sunday school is just not a place to come because we don't have no place to go on Sunday. I know everyone else in here have a place we could go on Sunday. And by the way, the flesh would love it a lot better than church sometimes. Thank you, Brother Ennis. I'm glad I said that. Amen. Because they feel the same way. What I'm saying to you, when we're in church, is when the word of God has been passed out like it should be, hopeful to hearts who can take that much on that and understand what God is saying to their lives as we pass on this side of eternity. We will pass our sinful nature to the next generation. Romans 5 verse 12 tells us that. Therefore, we should train up the children, God, Bible says, in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they will not depart from those ways. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Now, hear me, folks, this carefully. If they are not born again through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ while they're here in time, they will perish with a fallen, corrupt, sinful nature they receive from you and me in natural birth. You have children that came through natural birth. You know what struck me this morning? Going over these notes. I've been saved for 58 years. And if God will permit me to have a child, me and my wife, which I'm sure may not happen, a mere miracle, as old as we are, be a miracle like Abraham. But if God will permit me to have a child, I've been saved 58 years, I will still birth a person with the nature of the flesh, not the nature of God. Let me ask you a question. Is it not reasonable then to think, then how in the world could I live a perfect life in this body if I can't produce offspring without the nature of Adam fallen? Surely if I could be perfect in this body of flesh, to be sure it'd be possible to produce a perfect child. No, since Adam, this flesh has died. That helps me know why this flesh is going back to the dust and not to heaven. It helps me understand to produce children will not produce children already saved. They're fallen. They need a Savior. If they die before their age of accountability, thank God the blood protects them. But if they come of age of accountability, they have to be born again. Even though they come from someone who's been saved 58 years. How many years have you been saved? Think about it. If you'd have a child right now, you still produce a child fallen because of the nature of Adam. Why? That's all this body can give. It's the only thing this body can give, the nature of Adam. That's the reason Jesus come. Why? He gives us God's nature. The Bible says his divine nature. That's a new creation. That's in this old frail body that hinders me all the time, drags me down. I'm telling you what's true. Makes me wake up sometime about things I can't even imagine what I didn't think about. Because this body is still headed to the dust, not to heaven. And so I see some wonderful things here. We must show God to the next generation. The second thing quickly, let them know why you admire, think, and love, and prefer the God of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, over all others. They need to know how God created the heavens and the earth according to the scriptures, how he created space. They need to know how angels came into being, how animals and people got here in God's creation. They need to know that God preserves and governs everything that he makes. That God is the source of all blessing. They need to know about God's work of redemption for mankind that has fallen. Because the government's not going to tell them, and the unsaved world's not going to tell them. They're going to drag something up somewhere or another about some fantasy years ago that didn't happen, but people still believe it. Because Satan is bringing anything up that would transgress against God, even though it can't be proven, it gets people to believe it because it's passed from one generation to another. And somebody said, well, if my great-great-granddad believed this, why, he must not have been wrong. They need to know about God's work of redemption. They need to know that although men gave us the pages of history, it was God who held the inspiration pen and moved them to write what they wrote in this precious book. They need to know that Jesus died on Calvary because of God's love. John 3:16 is a powerful verse about God's love. They're to be told, as any other child would be told, as any other thing would be told to the next generation. Because if they're not told by someone they can trust and believe in, then they'll never get it like they could. In our age today, I read the other day where it said in most mega churches that have the service of our particular day and have the, what do you call it, contemporary service, I guess. I guess that's the name, isn't it? Somebody help me out. But what I'm saying, they said that most of the age, you know what the age is for that generation, the mega churches, they check it out. They have some older people, but they said the bulk of the youth are between 20 and 35 years old. Thousands are flocking to these assemblies between 20 and 35 years old. You know why? They're vulnerable. And if you don't tell something, there's more to this thing of salvation than just the fleshly feeling. Amen. There's something inside that's taking place that helps us govern ourselves. Not just react because of the fleshly feeling. And we're being called everything in the book because we believe that. Listen, what happens in me is more important than what happens to me. And by personal teaching someone, reading books and conversation, and even professional God-fearing people, teachers and preachers, we must find a way to pass the knowledge of God to the next generation. If God's people do not do this, this old sinful world will fill the slot. And it has a lot of ways to do it. Did you know, you and I can teach a class here on Sunday morning, and if people wanted to, they could hear 100 ways to deny that on the modern day news media and website that what we just taught. How in the world would that? They say, well, wait a minute, that's true. That's news too. That's truth too. When you ponder things in balance of what is truth and what is error, most people who try to balance something, balance it because if it balanced more one day, it must be more right than the other. But you find when truth is believed, it will balance out. But when truth stands alone, and by the way, truth will stand alone. Amen. Because it can't be truth if it don't. And when it balances out, most of the time, evil balances out truth to believe, and we think because more believe that, it must be right. I'm glad God shows us when the Word of God himself was on this earth 2,000 years ago, who was the truth from God, God's only Son. The world hated him. The religious groups even showed their hatred toward him. but it didn't change the fact that he wants truth. He wants truth. And I thank God for that, to see it. So we must find a way to pass that knowledge on to the next generation. If God's people don't do it in this world, this old sinful world is going to feel it. We do this by speaking about God's wisdom, his goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy to each other. Here, others will hear. And we must express some admiration and gratitude and love and joy to each other about God and towards God that people can see, where others can hear our conversation. We must praise God openly, but it be a sincere heart, not a mockery. We must also find ourselves looking at giving this to the next generation. We must also convince the next generation that we regard God with the utmost admiration. We reverence him. When I walk in his presence, I reverence him because he deserves that. We're nothing without him, and we're everything with him. Isn't it amazing what God's done for us? When I look at life and I understand that gratitude and love, listen, and admiration and reverence and gratitude and love should not just be on Sunday. Amen. Thank you. It's every day as we get in this world. And so to qualify to tell anyone about Jesus Christ, one must know personally by being born again through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask myself again, as I read this, am I qualified? What qualifies me to give this wonderful information out? First, there has to be a birth. How do I fix that? There's no way that I can give physical information to a physical world without a physical birth. I didn't come out of mother's womb saying, now get right with God. I didn't come out of mother's womb saying, now you feed me something besides that milk in a bottle. Give me some. No, we don't say anything except what we learn to say. And same with the spiritual birth. Am I qualified? Are you qualified? What have you done to publicly express the knowledge of God about his salvation in God's Son? If you died today, what would you leave behind for them to remember you about? Your testimony in Jesus Christ? Or would it be some other lifestyle? I know one thing, and my wife and talk about this, would it be my children or grandchildren? And I don't know if I ever see great-grandchildren, but if it is, there's nowhere they could say that I didn't believe this book. They did, they lied. Because they not seen me when I didn't believe this book. My mother and dad did. But in their whole life, they seen this book, that I believed this book, taught this book, preached this book, try to live by this book, and realize in a body of flesh I had and did make many mistakes. But it didn't lead me from this book. It's the Word of God. Think about what would happen to this world if every generation would declare the things of God to the next generation. This world would be wonderful change over two or three generations. On the other hand, though, think what would happen to this world if just one generation does not declare the things of God to the next generation. The world would be more sinful and wicked than ever. And men would wax worse and worse, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceive and been deceived. It's our duty to pass on to the next generation what we know about God, folks. And I say, may the next generation see God in his plan manifested in our generation, so God can manifest the reality of his existence to the next generation through us. I say that with a humble heart, and I say that convincing. May the next generation see God in us. Why we're here to know we had something that the world didn't have that they need in that generation. If God should tarry and not come back for the church, may they remember somebody who stood on the ground, not because of some kind of egotistical condition, but because of God. And the Bible has proven to be so. May that generation remember back someone who taught them. You know what really breaks my heart? Every once in a while, I meet someone years ago in this church, and they remember someone who taught them about God's Word. And when they would come back, more so years ago than they are now, because most of them are older and moved a lot of places away, they'd ask about someone in the church. And that person who taught them in Sunday school was not even in church then. Wonder what that does to a person who believed in that person when they were teaching them. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? You say, preacher, just tell me that on Sunday. Don't tell me about it on Monday, Tuesday, Saturday. Just tell me about it on Sunday. No, we need to be taught about it, folks, because it's serious business. People are watching us. And what we're doing is producing to another generation. My age, and some of you my age, and some a little less my age, but there's a lot of young folks and couples, young people here, got a life ahead of them. They need to remember somebody. Not only just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Because, ladies, I'm going to tell you, I don't care where you get out in your generation, you're going to be facing some things that you need some help from the last generation to remember by. I remember so-and-so, they told me about this. They told me I'm going to face this. They told me things would be like this. And I watched them, and I saw them go through them. And God, I know if you help them, you can help me. I believe what they said. I don't understand it all, Lord, but I believe what they say. Please help me like you helped them. That's the thing that this generation needs to know about our generation. Father in heaven, I thank you again for what you do for us. I thank you, Lord, for this precious book. And I thank you again as we look at the Word of God. We see why we must show the next generation about who God is, about who Christ is. We can only use words. That's the only power I have. Lord, words and a life to back the words. Help us understand how important this time is. Lord, if we would gain the whole world and lose our own soul, we're not accomplishing anything. If we gain the wealth of the world and lose our own soul, we're not accomplishing anything. But thank God for the blessings of life that helps us in time. And God blesses his people, and we have surely been blessed. Then why can't we show to the next generation how great God is? And though you, as we've seen, struggle, and I thank you this morning for many comments on that, they were glad to hear today that we struggle in life, but we have one who helps us through our struggle. And God says, if you let me bring you through this, I'm going to use you to bless somebody in the future to bring them through it. For as God gives us understanding about life and what we're doing, we grow enough to look at ourselves and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but when I get to the results that you give me, help me be able to help someone else who may go through what I've been through. Lord, I don't know why sometimes you wait so long to do something, but I know when you do it, we know it's right. I believe sometimes if you did it when I ask it, I'd be thinking I had power, so much power, you just do it because I ask it, Lord. And that's not true. Because you don't answer prayers, not because you don't love us. Lord, you see much more than we do. Please let this generation that's coming, as we move off the scene, please let them see there's something we had that's more than religion. Morning comes together and just having a religious good time and then go back in the world and live worse than we ever lived. What we get in the house of God should be carried back into the world with us. And though I realize in this world it's evil more so now than ever, but that means that God is still not working. One day before long, he's coming for the church. People mock and ridicule, but Peter said, when they do that, it's not going to change the promise. He's going to come back. Lord, I thank you to know as you give us each day, I believe anyone here would say it's not hard for us, dear Lord, to fail. This flesh is still hanging on. But I know this, as we see the saints of God in the Old and New Testament, when a person failed at something they were trying to do or not do, and God convicted their heart, they made it right. And that's a wonderful thing of the grace of God, that not only started something, but keeps it moving in our hearts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for those who come and sit. May they be blessed. As we go into this week, we didn't just come to church to meet with you and leave you and not be with us. You'll be with us all week. You'll be with us on the job tomorrow. We'll be at that place where we have someone ridicule us. Lord, somebody may cuss us out. Somebody may say something that hurts our feelings. But yet, same time, we know this. We have one that loved us. He died for us. It amazes me how God took Jesus Christ through what he went those last few hours, the last 3.5 years of his life to get him to Calvary. You took him through Judas to get him to Calvary. Why? Because he died for us. He took what Judas was used to give by Satan to get Christ to Calvary. Christ went through Judas by his hand, though God was behind the whole scene. I believe with all my heart, what Judas did didn't change Jesus' heart to him. But his heart never became what it should be, that he might be a child of God. Help someone to see, Lord, what they need today in Christ Jesus. Bless your holy name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.